Chapter 13. Conflict. It was still dark when Hermione and Malfoy apparated into Grimmauld Place's back garden. Hermione belatedly realized they were standing in a newly planted row of wolfsbane. Ginny and Honoria would not be pleased. Further to that, her beloved tartan bedroom slippers probably needed to be thrown away now. They were soiled and soggy after her trek across the damp Quidditch pitch, through Hogwarts' dusty, deserted corridors, and over deceased school caretakers. This was the least of her troubles, however. She released Malfoy's wrist just in time to see Harry come barreling at them from the back door, his mouth open in a snarl. He caught Malfoy around his midsection and both men landed heavily on the ground, scattering the herbology book. There was always a moment of disorientation following apparition, no matter the distance. Hermione frantically tried to speed up her reorientation, so she could better grasp just what the hell was happening. She shook off the customary woozy feeling and stepped out of the flower trough just as Harry began to throw punches.
"Harry!"
She ran forward to pull the back of his old t-shirt, which promptly ripped, tearing at the neck hole. It was a stark reminder of how much stronger he was compared to her. There had been a time, many moons ago in first and second year, when this had not been the case. Hermione could not honestly recall the last time she'd grappled with Harry, though it had probably also been in an effort to restrain him. She grabbed his right arm. He shook her off, along with the remains of his ruined shirt.
"Damn it, Harry, have you gone mad?"
He didn't look at her. He didn't even seem to register she was there. This, too, was an annoyingly familiar aspect of male rage. The red-hazed tunnel vision. It occurred to Hermione that Malfoy was not fighting back. He blocked the fists that were aimed at his head, but seemed to be doing no more than standing his ground. Harry lunged for Malfoy's throat. Malfoy slapped his hand away. The sound was loud enough to make her wince.
"No soft words and wooing. Straight to the main course like the predictable creature you are. If you fuck like you fight, Potter, it's no wonder you have trouble hanging on to your girlfriends."
Hermione groaned, trust Malfoy to stir a pot that had already boiled over. Harry growled and made to grab Malfoy once more. It looked like Malfoy had likely been about to sidestep Harry. But, unfortunately, this never eventuated.
"Petrificus Totalus!"
Elizabeth Kent called out. She was standing at the back step with Padma Patil, who was sleep-mussed and dressed in a white terrycloth bathrobe. Both women were holding out their wands, though Padma looked markedly more disgruntled than the debutante. Malfoy froze in place, just in time to receive the full force of Harry charging into him for the second time that night. The pair went over into the already squashed wolfsbane. To Hermione's disbelief, Harry straddled the now helpless Malfoy and began laying into him.
"Harry!"
Padma yelled. She tossed her long braid over her shoulder, tightened the belt on her bathrobe, and entered the fray. Agent Kent raised her wand again.
"Should I just..."
"No, no!" said Padma and Hermione. It took the combined strength of both women to pull the spitting and swearing Harry off of Malfoy.
"Enough!"
Hermione shouted, shoving Harry in the chest.
"What in the blazes is wrong with you?"
To her astonishment, Harry turned his anger back on her. She didn't think she'd ever seen him so furious, and certainly never this furious at her.
"What the hell is wrong with you?"
"Me?"
"Yes, you,"
Harry said.
"What kind of mental case takes off from Merlin Knowswhere in the middle of the night with Draco sodding Malfoy? I thought Kent was joking when she woke me up to tell me. But no, you actually went. Do you have any idea what could have happened to you?"
Hermione put some distance between them before she addressed him, slowly and calmly. She used her best head girl's admonishing voice, honed to perfection while at Hogwarts.
"Harry James Potter, you either want to have a conversation with me or you want to scream at me. If it's to be the latter, then I'm saying goodnight."
Some of the bluster leached out of him, leaving a weary, slightly sheepish Harry. But Hermione could still see the anger simmering just under the surface. It was probably just as well that Malfoy's sharp tongue was petrified along with the rest of him. She watched Harry turn away from her, take two steps, and whirl back towards her with a frustrated expression.
"He's bad, Hermione. Bad for this operation, and certainly bad for you. I didn't protest enough when you hatched up the plan to break him out of Azkaban. That was my mistake. I should have told Scrimgeour. He might have talked some sense into you about how dangerous it is to have Malfoy here. I don't know how else I can get this fact across to you. I can't watch you all the time, Whoa, hang on a minute,
Hermione interrupted hotly.
I don't need you to watch me.
If not me, then who?
Harry demanded.
If not Ron, then it bloody well falls to me now.
Hermione gaped at him.
Oh my God! That's it, isn't it? You think you've taken on the mantle from Ron? Is this some kind of macho bullshit thing? Watch over your best mate's girl because he can't?
Harry stilled.
Are you my best mate's girl, then?
During the ensuing silence, Hermione could practically feel the heavy stares of Kent, Padma, and Harry. She was supremely annoyed to be the focus of what was essentially Harry's unreasonable behavior.
What Ron and I are or are not isn't what is under discussion here, she hissed.
Too right,
Harry nodded vigorously.
It's about you apparating to parts unknown with a man that could kill you without hesitation. I've nearly lost one of my best friends. I'm not losing the other one because Draco Malfoy happens to have a super-duper secret formula. I don't bloody care.
Hermione saw red. She would have grabbed on the front of Harry's shirt and hauled him closer if he'd been wearing one. No matter that he was half a head taller than her.
That super-duper secret formula may very well save Ron, you dolt. It may save Terence Say and every other person in this world who has been touched by this horror. So you think about how utterly selfish you sound when you say you don't bloody care. Our situation cannot possibly be more desperate than it already is. I will do whatever I need to do.
That includes playing mental footsie with Malfoy, does it?
Harry spat back at her.
I'm not blind.
She reclaimed the space between them, such that they were nose to nose.
Really? Then tell me what it is you see happening out there. No one else, not even the Americans, are any closer to a cure. Millions are dead, and you have the audacity to be angry at me for putting myself at risk if it means we acquire a cure? Get used to it. You're going to be angry with me quite a bit before we're done. I love you, Harry, and I know you love me. But what we're doing here trumps how we both feel.
Harry's jaw tensed. He shoved his hands in his jeans pockets and scowled down at his feet.
You lecture me about selfishness and about necessity, and yet you pander to the one who is deliberately obstructing what could be a cure.
His head came back up, and even in the darkness, Hermione could see the green blaze of his eyes.
Tell me, have you lectured him?
She was silent for a moment, and then...
No.
Why not?
Hermione sighed.
Because it wouldn't work, she snapped. Not with him.
Then he really doesn't care?
Harry asked.
I don't know, Hermione admitted. But what I do know is he's working on regen, and we've got 3 pages of his formula. And I believe I have the means to secure the rest of it.
Harry snorted.
By jumping through hoops? By taking him on midnight joyrides?
I'll join the bloody circus if that's what it takes, Harry.
Harry attempted to respond, but Padma materialized between them and put a stalling hand on Harry's arm. He was fairly vibrating with anger.
I'd like to get back to bed at some point, seeing as I have to be up in 2 hours. Also, I'm pretty sure Malfoy's nose is broken. If he's to stay pretty, it's best I mend it sooner rather than later.
Shall I cut the spell, then? Kent asked. She'd been so silent and so still that Hermione had nearly forgotten she was there. The agent was standing over Malfoy, staring down at him with an expression of amused interest. The herbology book was in her arms.
Do it after Harry's gone, Padma said.
She looked pointedly at Hermione.
Take Harry and go. I've got this.
Harry and Hermione made to protest, but Padma cut them off with a quelling look.
Go! The sooner I mend Malfoy, the sooner I can get back to bed.
Belated exhaustion settled over her, the aftertaste of the night's adrenaline roller coaster. She opened her eyes and looked at the book that Kent was holding, and then looked at Kent. May I have that? Slightly too much time passed between Hermione's request and Kent handing her the book, but she gave it up nonetheless. Hermione had no doubt the agent would have preferred turning it into Richards instead.
Speaking of the cowboy, are Richards and Scrimgeour back from the Terence Say visit yet?
Hermione asked.
They're due later this morning,
Kent replied.
Then would you please send them a message to bring Neville Longbottom with them?
Neville,
Harry said.
Why do we need him more than Taranse does right now?
Hermione's tone was still a little cool when she spoke to him. She was already opening the back door to enter the house. Beyond the rooftop, the sky was starting to take on a pink tinge. Because, like Malfoy, Neville will be able to help us. Padma directed the reanimated Draco Malfoy to the chair at her workstation. Sit. He sat. Only he didn't just sit. Rather, he arranged himself with a straight-backed formality that had probably been acquired through very expensive deportment lessons. Or perhaps it was something built into his DNA. Padma knew all about very expensive deportment lessons, but the difference between her and Malfoy was that she couldn't be buggered keeping up the pretense. Slouching and slovenliness was not part of Malfoy's repertoire. To Padma, this trait was not something to be admired. Padma admired range in people, and Malfoy was decidedly narrow. Padma was even shorter than Hermione, which meant that the swivel chair was a little too low to the ground for him. His bent knees were nearly at level with her hips. With his hands under his streaming nose, he watched with forensic intensity as she took first aid supplies from the shelf and put the items on a small metal trolley and wheeled the trolley back to her workstation. Tip back your head. He did as asked. Blood ran down the side of his face, dripping onto the collar of his shirt.
Try not to bleed on my notes, said Padma,
as she slipped on a pair of latex gloves. She used both her thumbs to prod at the bridge of his nose, which was out of alignment.
Ow. I see you've broken your nose before, she observed. Fight?
Bludger.
I hate Quidditch, Padma said. There was the sound of peeling plastic and the scent of disinfectant. I know it's a shocking thing for any British witch or wizard to admit, but if I can't confess to that at the end of the world, then when can I?
It's not the... ow. End of the world, quite. Ow!
Malfoy caught her wrist and glared at her.
Do you know what you're doing?
Padma snorted. Of course. Do you? She resumed poking and prodding. He watched her from under her hands.
To what are you referring?
Your reasons for being here. Padma cast an anesthetizing charm over the affected area, and then rubbed in one of Professor Yoshida's topical analgesics. Sit still. Your nose is going to feel like it's not there in a moment. Just breathe normally. She reached up and with both hands applied pressure. There, she said, looking pleased with her work. The swelling should go down in a week or so, but you're going to be sporting black eyes for a while longer. She moistened a wad of gauze with antiseptic solution and began to clean away the dried blood from the grazes on his cheeks.
My reasons for being here are simple enough to discern. There's a pardon at the end of the tunnel,
he told her. Tilt your chin up, please. Do you want the pardon?
I'm a fugitive without it.
Let me rephrase. Do you need the pardon? There were two possible answers to that question. The one that was seemly and the one that was true. Or perhaps for Malfoy, they were one and the same. Padma doubted it, which was why she had posed the question in the first place. Also, he was taking some time to reply, which he hoped meant he was contemplating being honest in answering.
No,
came the eventual reply, without even a skerrick of lament. I didn't think so. You were never any good at remorse when we were at school. Regret when you got caught, maybe, but never remorse. All right, you can lower your chin now. Your eyes are swelling up already, but that's to be expected. Are you experiencing any dizziness, headache, nausea, or loss of vision? She shone a light into his eyes to check for pupil response. He shook his head. All seemed normal, so she turned off the light. The silver eyes that watched her were as cold and foreboding as a glacier. Padma idly wondered how Hermione could possibly see something of merit beyond this. Or perhaps Malfoy just looked at her differently?
What does the personal value of my pardon have to do with anything?
Padma nearly smiled at the question. He was curious about her reasons for asking. Maybe Malfoy was human after all? Because I'd feel better if you were helping us because you want to, and not merely as a means to an end. Because I worry that you're looking for 100 different ways to break this agreement as soon as you find out how to get what you want without paying for it. Hermione can't seem to tell the difference between you wanting the pardon and you needing it.
And I gather you do?
Padma shrugged. I was always the quiet, introspective twin, remember? The more noise Parvati made, the easier it was for me to sit back and observe.
Parvati,
he said, as if testing the quality of the word. but she knew he was simply dredging up his dim memory of her sister.
How did she die?
Padma tossed the blood-soaked gauze and latex gloves into a bin. She began packing away the supplies.
Like so many others in this mess. Badly.
We're done here. You're free to return to your cell. He stood and reached up to touch his now perfectly realigned nasal bones. He was tall, menacing, and once again blood-stained. Though this time it was from his blood, not Hermione's.
A cure is coming,
he said. She wondered if this was his cryptic way of extending his condolences. And you and Hermione are going to be the ones to find it for us, I suppose?
My full expertise remains an option your team has yet to fully explore. As for Granger, she was and continues to be...
He searched for a word. Optimistic, Padma said, almost under her breath.
Resourceful,
he finished. And then he smiled. Padma realized that he had done this very rarely when they were all at school. Mostly he'd sneered. Sneers were not smiles. They could pass for smiles when they were the only outward displays of pleasure you chose to show the world. He didn't verbally thank her, but he dipped his head in acknowledgement of her healing work and then made to leave. Malfoy, she called out to him. It took every ounce of willpower not to demand more concrete answers from him. Padma was not meek by any stretch of the imagination, but she knew she was out of her depth when it came to Malfoy. You probably only got the truth out of men like Malfoy from men like Agent Richards. Likely it involved a concrete room and a very loose interpretation of the Geneva Convention. He paused at the door. Elizabeth Kent was hovering outside, waiting to escort him back to his cell. Keep in mind that if you hurt Hermione, I'll help Harry finish you off, and I don't need to use my fists. I have much more insidious methods at my disposal. Even you need to sleep sometime, yes?
His impassivity was inhuman, though Padma thought she could detect amusement.
I assure you, Dr. Patil, Hermione Granger will not be in any peril, mortal or otherwise, in which she herself will not willingly engage.